Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
So why is it automatic personal transport? Well, over the last 15 years or so, we've witnessed a massive spike, an increase in the development and implementation of technology in our lives, and have now reached the point where automatic self-driving transport becomes a reality for you in your lifetimes, and sooner rather than later. What used to be something that only science fiction worlds seem to have has now become more widely accepted as a reality. Some people refer to this as autonomous. However, the Society of Automotive Engineers, the SAE, prefers the term automatic. And this is because the word autonomous implies that the car or the vehicle is capable of making its own decisions rather than sticking to do what it's been told to do. This is automatic. Okay, so how does it work? Well, in order to achieve personal transport that's automatic and self-driving, the amount of technology, particularly smart technology, required is massive. Unlike normal cars, where a steering wheel turns the tyres to make the car turn, which is entirely dependent on an active, engaged driver, self-driving cars rely on technology, very smart engineering and mathematics to drive themselves. In order to drive safely and to traverse our roads, self-driving cars rely heavily on sensors, eyes like clever cameras, and these sensors are able to carefully and precisely predict where the car needs to be in reference to the rest of the road so that it can stay within the lines, keeping not only the drivers safe, but other drivers and pedestrians as well, of course. These sensors each have a very different role, but each one is vital in ensuring the safety and efficiency of the car and the people involved. Most people would be familiar with radar sensors, which track the position of other vehicles on the road, but self-driving cars also rely on video cameras, which can detect traffic lights and read and process road signs and track other vehicles' speeds and their position and the line in which they might take, and keep a lookout for stray pedestrians. LIDAR, L-I-D-A-R, LIDAR, also known as light detection and ranging, is one of the smartest sensors and one of the most important as well. This sensor manages to calculate the distance between other vehicles. It can detect road edges and spot lane markings. It manages this by bouncing pulses of light of the car's surroundings to gauge the distance between the car and whatever it needs to work out, which can then inform the car that it needs to adjust slightly. And then finally, ultrasonic sensors are predominantly used when parking, and they're used to detect and identify other cars and curbs, the edges of the pavements, or anything else that might be an issue, as to limit where the car can go. And once all of this is done and continually updated, the information is sent to the incredibly clever software that the car is running on, which processes all of this information and as a result can plot the path of the vehicle, as well as send instructions to the actuators of the car. Now, the actuator is what controls the braking and the acceleration and the steering. It also sticks to a set of hard-coded rules, which in the event of a physical dilemma, like hitting another car or crashing into a wall, it will always stick to pre-programmed instructions. So in summary, sensors on the car calculate the position of the car, other cars, lane markings, and read signs, which is then processed by the software, which adjusts the actuators in reference to the information that it's receiving. Simple, right? So these six stages of automation, according to the Society of Motor Engineers, range from fully manual to fully automatic. The six stages are split into two separate categories, which is based on what monitors the environment, the human or the car. So levels 0 to 2 come under human monitoring. And level 0 is no automation at all. Level 0 is a fully manual control like we had 20 years ago. The driver is responsible for every decision made. And that includes speeding and braking and steering, etc. But the technologies become more technically accessible and therefore cheaper over time because of the demand and the implementation by companies into their car builds. So level one, driver assistance, right, is what most cars will have today. Now, level one involves there being a single driver's aid in order to keep the human managing the road safer. And it can include something like cruise control. Now, cruise control maintains a speed set by the driver, like having the car go at a guaranteed 70 miles an hour across the motorway. And level two is partial automation, well, similar to level one, but with more driving aids. Now, the car could potentially be able to steer and accelerate on its own. But human interaction and monitoring is still needed to keep it safe. Teslas, we've all heard of the Tesla car, are known for their self-driving cars, and while they're incredibly clever and are able to drive themselves on a busy road, the Californian documentation only says that this is the level at which Tesla are currently at, level two, partial automation. And that's for the sake of safety and the fact that they're actually still in a testing stage. So moving on to the second part, levels 3, 4, and 5. Automatic monitoring. So level three is conditional automation. At level three, this car is able to perform most of the driving tasks as well as to monitor the environment for possible danger. And the reason it's known as conditional monitoring is because humans override where it's needed. We're still relying on human common sense and decision making. Level four is a higher level of automation. More and more tasks are performed by the car under specified circumstances. Geofencing is required at this level. This is a location-based service which creates an artificial parameter on a map, and this is known as a geofence, and can be used to give instructions to the car in specific places like speed limits or where there's a lot of traffic congestion, etc. And then we come on to level six, full automation. Of course, where the car is able to perform all the tasks effectively without any human interaction, override, or monitoring. So while we're only on stage 2 to 3 with Tesla, with more time and development and research that goes into self-driving cars, it's only a matter of time before the latter stages are reached where the cars monitor the environment as opposed to the human having to do it for them. So do we need them? Well, it might seem like the next best thing to some people, or it might seem completely pointless and a waste of time and resources. But the evidence suggests that self-driving cars could be a positive thing for our societies. Now, already, the driving tests are being adapted to include driver aids, like reversing cameras. So as you learn to drive, there'll be more electric, that is, more automatic gearboxes on the road, as opposed to the manual gear changes that we had 30 years ago, where you clutch down into first, clutch down into second, where you're constantly changing gears. I mean, the main issue with transport today is the emissions released into the atmosphere. Now, with self-driving cars, this can be reduced, in towns anyway, by about 80% worldwide by the year 2050, they reckon. On average, a typical passenger vehicle emits about 4.5 tons of carbon dioxide every year. And if we scale this up around the UK, for example, then around 77% of the population owns a car. And this means that around 51 million in the UK own a vehicle. But this could be due to some households and individuals owning more than one. I mean, some families have 3 or 4, don't they? And this then equates to around 250 million tons of carbon dioxide being released in the UK every year. With self-driving cars, this number could drop down to 42 or 43 million. These are always approximate figures, of course, but it gives you an idea. While there's still a lot of carbon being released, it's considerably less than it would be. So besides this, congestion in towns, traffic congestion, can be lowered by about 30% because more people would be willing to share a car because there's no need for a driver. Now, bearing this in mind, more space would open up for greener spaces like housing and commerce, and it would cut costs by around 40% because there would be fewer vehicles on the road, hopefully. And a final possibility, if all goes perfectly to plan, could be that automatic cars could be completely green if electric highways, which charges electric cars as they drive, are more commonly and widely available and used, then the need for petrol and diesel can be eliminated or at least hugely cut to create a greener and more sustainable society, although this is still in an arguable state, let's say. Of course, there'll be issues that are faced, like environmental considerations, such as the weather and as laws and regulations, the seemingly never-ending debate of the reliability of artificial intelligence. But there's no denying that for you, in your lifetime, self-driving cars offer a vast array of potential positives for today's society. So we'll see how it goes over the next 5 or 10 years, but I think the next 3 or 4 years are going to be very interesting in the way battery technology is moving forward and the complexities of installing an electrical grid that will allow families to charge their vehicles at night, for example. If you imagine living in a tall tower block, how could you buy an electric vehicle if there was no charging available for you to put a long 10-meter cable outside your house to charge it? And then there's the idea of bringing in and the technology, which is advancing every month or two, for hydrogen-powered vehicles. Very interesting and exciting times ahead, which you luckily will live through. I wish you well. I'll speak to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.